The weather conditions today are perfect for an intentional prairie fire. A bit of breeze, slightly humid and balmy. A so-called prescribed or controlled burn of 50 acres will occur here in a few hours, as soon as the crew's all set. We're standing on the edge of Woolsey Wet Prairie, a constructed wetland named after the family who first settled this place in the 1840s. For decades, this place was a cow pasture planted in Bermuda grass, native plants that once thrived in and around shallow pools and ponds in this former wet meadow disappeared. So did the wildlife that fed on it. But when the city undertook construction of a new wastewater treatment plant, it traded ecological mitigation credit by restoring this place back to its original state. The city hired Bruce Shackelford, president of environmental consulting operations based in Benton, Arkansas. This is one of his pet projects.
Today we're going to do a prescribed burn. This will be the fourth prescribed burn that we've done. And it's especially going to be a history-making prescribed burn because our burn contractor is Shalada Fire LLC. They are a 100% Native American owned and operated company based in Oklahoma City. And so it's really interesting because history tells us that Native Americans frequently burned, and that's why we had prairies up here.
Spelled S-H-L-O-E-T-A and pronounced Shalada. The word represents a small Cherokee community in northeastern Oklahoma. Shalada employs 35 people, more than half of which are tribal members.
So what's so exciting about Shalada and looking at the history of Native Americans burning in northwest Arkansas, the Chickamauga Cherokee, they were actually given a land treaty, a federal treaty up here, from 1817 until 1825. And so they probably did prescribe burns. If they didn't, the Osage certainly did before they did. And so this means that it's probably the first time that Native Americans, now that we have Shalada coming to the site, have burned Woolsey Wet Prairie in probably over 200 years. So we're very excited about it.
Bruce Shackelford says prescribed burns are good for the land.
Oh, it definitely increases the plant diversity. It removes the thatch layer of all the dying plant material that's died over the winter, and you get this thatch and organic layer built up. And many of the prairie seeds, they actually need sunlight to germinate. And so it's kind of like peeling back the layers, and there can actually be seeds that have been dormant in the seed bed that will come back if you do that adaptive management.
To restore the original drenched nature, Shackelford built a series of meandering clay berms and sluices that flow in and hold surface water. When he started, he could only count 40 plant species.
The status of the site right now, we're up to 379 species of plants without seeding anything. And as a reminder, we started out with 47 plant species, many of which were invasive. And so using adaptive management techniques, we've increased the plant community. And a really exciting thing that has happened only last week, Mike Mladenow, one of the birders in northwest Arkansas, he saw a northern shrike. And Joe Neal actually took pictures of it. You can see those pictures of the northern shrike on the Woolsey Wet Prairie website. Go to Eco Arkansas and click on Woolsey, Maine. And so this is the second known record of the northern shrike to be seen in Arkansas.
And shrike are coming here because this is one of the last remnants of America's rare wet prairies. Over the past 6 years, Shackelford has used selective herbicides and burns to restore this place. He and a group of volunteers have also planted hundreds of pecan, black walnut, and persimmon trees as savanna cover. Summers, visitors can see native plant species, including big and little blue stem, switchgrass, Indian grass, and gay feather. 2 centuries ago, bison and eastern elk likely walked around here, as did native prairie chickens. Today, Woolsey Prairie is again a wildlife destination.
Oh, absolutely. We have a lot of animal life out here. The birders are out here all the time. And I frequently get emails. They're seeing all kinds of really cool birds. I was out here one time last winter, and I saw a mink out here. And, of course, we know there are coyotes, there are deer, there are raccoons. Some of the adaptive management we're going to do, it's kind of overgrown a little bit because of the drought last year. And so we're going to burn off some of this vegetation and try to open up some more mud flats, and that'll bring back a lot of the shorebirds that we had. And so I think there's been like 17 species of shorebirds observed out here at Woolsey Wet Prairie. So we're trying to tweak the habitat a little bit so we have more shorebirds.
As you can hear, songbirds have returned along with the waterbirds. In 2009, the city of Fayetteville, for its effort here, was the recipient of a Governor's 2009 Corporate Conservationist of the Year Award, given by Arkansas Wildlife Federation.
OMI, must give them credit. Tim Luther, operations manager with OMI, we found out here recently, he applied to the National Wildlife Federation and successfully got Woolsey Wet Prairie certified as a national wildlife habitat. And so there will be signs put up that designate that certification. So that's just another feather in the cap of the city of Fayetteville.
Describe what you're wearing.
Oh, what I'm wearing?
Yes, you're so bright. You're hurting my eyes.
Well, right now I kind of look like a canary boy scout because I have on these green pants, and I have on a bright yellow canary shirt, and it's a material commonly known as Nomex. It's a fire-resistant material, and it's some of the PPE or protective personal equipment that firefighters or prescribed burn crews wear because it is fire-resistant. As we speak, here comes some of the Shaleda trucks.
The burn crew.
And so you don't want to wear any type of synthetics like nylon or rayon, anything like that, that if it gets exposed to a flame, it's going to melt. It's only going to cause an injury. So it's part of the equipment that you'll see the burn crew have out here today. They'll probably be wearing some yellow shirts too.
My name is Chad McCaffrey. I'm with Shaleda Fire. We do around 20 burns a year. All over Arkansas and Oklahoma Bowl.
Okay, what we have here, what Shaleda has brought, and I actually put together specifications for the informal bid process so that all the burn contractors bidding on it knew the required equipment. And we wanted everything to come off safely. This is sort of an urban interface burn. We want them to have a pump truck with adequate water. And what you see here on the back of this truck, those are drip torches. And that's how they will start the fire, and they'll get a drip torch going, and usually it has a mixture of about 30% gasoline and two-thirds diesel fuel. So it's not extremely volatile, but it's enough to walk around and you'll drip that burning fuel out of that drip torch and start the fire line.
Took time for the burn crew to set up the perimeter and conduct the burn, but according to an email sent yesterday, Bruce Shackelford reported it was very successful. A northern backfire burned well into the site as the crew set a series of flank and strip fires. Finally, a head fire was set on the south end. The burn crew waded through flooded areas with their drip torches to ignite small islands that had formed probably several thousand years ago as prairie mounds. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was done. Bruce Shackelford said small rodents could be seen scurrying across blackened openings as hawks swooped down through the clouds of smoke giving chase. And the day after the burn, wildlife biologist Joe Neal hiked Woolsey Wet Prairie and reported seeing numerous migrating American bitterns, song swamp, and savanna sparrows feeding on seeds in the blackened areas, blue and green-winged teal, and 15 to 20 Wilson's snipe. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.